welcome to the Monday edition of Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to be back here with you on Holy Spirit Radio. We have got a big show, lots going on today, and let's kick it off with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks for bringing us to another day. We thank you for all the blessings in our lives. Father, we ask you to protect us, to protect our families, to protect those around us. We ask you, Father, to help us get the most out of this Holy Week. Help us to grow close to you. Help us to be able to get to know your Son, Jesus, even better this week. Please strengthen us as we go out into the world. Help us to spread your good news wherever we go. Father, we ask you to speak through us here at the station. Speak your message through us, and please let us be able to have an open mind to be able to hear what you have to say. We pray for peace for the world. We pray for our country. We pray for an end to abortion. We pray for our priests, our religious, our deacons. And Father, we ask for all of these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, as I said, we've got a great show for you today. Coming up on the program, Mary Ellen Barrett will be here. She's going to be talking about the Philadelphia Catholic Homeschool Conference, which will be taking place on April the 28th at St. Helena Catholic Church in Bluebell. Also in the show, regular guest Danielle Bean will be here. And we're going to be talking about the very familiar story of Martha and Mary, as detailed in her book, You're Worth It. Change the way you feel about yourself by discovering how Jesus feels about you. So it's going to be great chatting with Mary Ellen. We'll have some music for you as well. And as always, we have the man, the legend, Good Mr. morning. Dave Parker.
Hey, thank you. The legend. Well, yeah, thank you. What
you
did
are.
I do?
You're legendary, Mr. Parker.
Hey, thank you, Gary. Good morning. And how was your weekend?
Dave, I had a great weekend. I want to send out a, well, somewhat belated birthday wish to my wife, Eileen. Her birthday was on Saturday, and we got to celebrate Eileen all weekend. We went down the shore.
Wow.
Right? That's how we say it in Philly,
down,
Dave.
Yeah, went down
a shore.
Down a shore.
That's right. We went to Cape May. We had a great time celebrating Eileen, and the
beautiful.
Weather was just fantastic.
Beautiful.
That's right.
Anyway.
So, happy birthday, honey. I know you're listening. Mr. Parker, how was your weekend?
It was great. But let me say, Eileen, happy birthday, okay? Our weekend was great. Great Palm Sunday yesterday.
That's right.
And took grandkids to Easter egg hunt at St. Francis Cabrini Parish after the 11 o'clock mass. So about high noon, we had fun, you know, at an Easter egg hunt.
Yeah, and it was outside?
Yes, it was.
Beautiful day for
Beautiful day.
It's going to be a great
Beautiful
week.
Yeah.
And Dave, let's talk about the week because we are in a very special week. We are now in Holy Week. This
yes,
is
we
the
are.
Culmination of the Lenten, the Lenten season.
Yes.
And we've got plenty of good things planned. I want to share some thoughts from Pope Francis yesterday on his homily for Palm Sunday. And I also want to let you know that we'll tell you more later in the show, but we'll have lots of features this week to help you focus on Holy Week and help you remember that this is the holiest week of the year. We're going to be hearing a lot more about the Passion, the death, and then on Sunday, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So a lot's going to happen this week. But let's take a quick look, Dave, at I want to share just some thoughts about the homily of Pope Francis. See, some of the things he said yesterday on Holy Week. And he said this, today's celebration, the celebration of Palm Sunday, can be said to be bittersweet. It's joyful and sorrowful at the same time. And he states that we celebrate the Lord's entrance into Jerusalem to the cries of his disciples who acclaim him as king, yet we also solemnly proclaim the gospel account of his passion. In this poignant contrast, our hearts experience in some small measure what Jesus himself must have felt in his own heart that day, as he rejoiced with his friends and wept over Jerusalem. Dave, that gospel yesterday was it was amazing, and it really was a contrast.
Yes, it was.
We see at the beginning Jesus being welcomed. Being welcomed with open arms, being greeted in a wonderful way. And by the end of the gospel, he's dead on a cross.
Yes.
I mean,
what... look at the gamut that ran. I mean, elation at the end. I mean, everyone, jubilation, elation, and then all of a sudden, well, and then as it progressed, in reality, poignant.
Yeah.
To coin a phrase or to paraphrase the Pope.
And then the Pope goes on to say this, so as we joyfully acclaim our King, and we want to do that, we want to acclaim Jesus Christ as our King, let us also think of the sufferings that he will have to endure this week. Let us think of the slanders, the insults, the snares, the betrayals, the abandonment to an unjust judgment, the blows, the lashes, the crown of thorns, and lastly, the way of the cross leading to crucifixion. Mm-hmm. For all of us, we have to remember that the way to heaven is through the cross. We've got to pick up our cross each day. Mm-hmm. That's the way Jesus got to heaven. That's the way he redeemed us. That's the way you and I are going to make it to heaven. Mm-hmm. And that's tough. It's somewhat easy to read the Passion, to look at what happened to Jesus, and to say, well, boy, that was a real shame. Now let me get on with my life.
Exactly. Wow, that's very, very precisely.
Right? But the Pope goes on to challenge us. He said this, "This Jesus who accepts the hosannas of the crowd knows full well that they will soon be followed by the cry, 'Crucify him.'" Mm-hmm. Dave, listen to this. "He does not ask us to contemplate him only in pictures and in photographs or in the videos that circulate on the internet. No. Jesus is present in our many brothers and sisters who today endure sufferings like his own. They suffer from slave labor, from family tragedies, from diseases. They suffer from wars and terrorism, from interests that are alarmed and ready to strike. Women and men who were cheated, violated in their dignity, discarded. Jesus is in them, in each of them. And with marred features and broken voice, he asks us to be looked in the eye, to be acknowledged, and to be loved." We saw what happened yesterday, the bombings on Palm Sunday, the terrorism in the world. I mean, the world is a very...
violent and war-torn, and it's a very cruel place.
And I think what our Holy Father is calling us to do here is to see Jesus in the and people suffering all around the world and in our own lives. I mean, we've got people in our own lives who are suffering. It might be that person you see at daily mass who just lost a husband or a wife.
Exactly.
Maybe has health issues. To recognize the suffering of really Christ in those around us, and to do what we can to maybe alleviate that suffering in some way.
I think that goes to, I don't have the script in front of me, but the Pope said it's like a joy and he contrasted it. And that's what it is.
And sorrowful at the same time.
At the same time. I mean, like the person next to us or the family next to us in the pew when we go to Mass, I mean, who knows what they're going through? They may be suffering. But then we're drawn to the good side of Easter. I mean, that's the ultimate thing. We can all attain and achieve the ultimate when Christ was resurrected. Look at the hope and the promise
exactly.
for all of us.
Exactly. So that's, something for all of us to keep in mind. But remember, that suffering, whether you're suffering, whether someone else is suffering, we look at the suffering in the world, do what you can to try to alleviate the sufferings of others, remembering that in Jesus Christ there is hope. We know the end of the story. We're going to see it play out on Sunday. But in order to get to that place of hope, to get to that place of resurrection, the cross is necessary. It's a necessary part of life.
Yes,
let's take a quick look at the gospel from today's daily mass. This comes from John chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 6 days before Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They gave a dinner for him there, and Martha served. While Lazarus was one of those reclining at table with him, Mary took a liter of costly perfumed oil made from genuine aromatic nard and anointed the feet of Jesus and dried them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Then Judas the Iscariot, one of the disciples and the one who would betray Jesus, said, "Why was this oil not sold for 300 days' wages and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief and held the money bag and used to steal the contributions. So Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Let her keep this for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." The large crowd of the Jews found out that he was there and came not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And the chief priests plotted to kill Lazarus too, because many of the Jews were turning away and believing in Jesus because of him. Mm. Once again, we're seeing this continuing saga of certain people who do not want to recognize that Jesus is the Messiah. They might be closed-minded. They have their own ideas. And now they're saying, well, look, let's not only try to kill Jesus, let's get rid of Lazarus, too, who Jesus raised from the dead, because people might start to believe in him, and we can't have that.
Exactly. Let's suppress and get rid of every piece of evidence of this man, Jesus, you know, yeah, around us, his friends, the things he did, Lazarus, the miracle of that. So.
So, and you know, I think that's a reminder for all of us to not discard what Jesus is doing in our own lives and the lives of those around us, and not to come because so closed-minded and to write off certain people, to ignore certain people in our lives, which we all have this tendency to do, but to really see the good in everybody. Also in this story, we see Judas. We see what Judas is all about, and he's going to betray Jesus. Remember something, Judas was one of the inner circle. He was one of the apostles. Jesus knew that he was going to betray him, but he still chose Judas. That's a reminder for each of us to understand that Jesus can always bring good out of anything evil that happens in our lives. And also, this is a reminder for us that this is the way it had to play out. Jesus had to suffer and die and be crucified.
I was just going to say that. I mean, he knew. He foreknew everything.
That's right.
And just for him, because he was God-man, his humanity, his human side, just waiting for that to happen. Can you imagine just the agony, the fear, the terror, the betrayal.
Here his friend is, somebody who Jesus took into his core group of apostles, knowing that he's going to betray him.
Yeah. And he didn't say anything until the appointed time, the right time.
Right.
So
we are getting close. We are getting close to that day, that very special day, Good Friday. I mean, we're entering into a very special week. We're in Holy Week now. As we go throughout the week, we're going to hear more and more of this story unfold. Mm-hmm. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Even if you feel that maybe this wasn't a great Lent for you, it's not too late. This is the week. This is the day, actually, when we can really say, Lord, I want this to still be my best Lent ever. We're going to take a break. When we come back, Mary Ellen Barrett will join us, and she's going to be talking about the Philadelphia Catholic Homeschool Conference. You don't want to miss it. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for April 10th. Today we celebrate Saint Magdalene of Kenosha. Wealth and privilege did nothing to prevent today's saint from following her calling to serve Christ in the poor, nor did the protests of her relatives concern that such work was beneath her. Born in northern Italy in 1774, Magdalene knew her mind and spoke it. At age 15, she announced she wished to become a nun. After trying out her vocation with the cloistered Carmelites, she realized her desire was to serve the needy without restriction. For years, she worked among the poor and sick in hospitals and in their homes, and among delinquent and abandoned girls. In her mid-20s, Magdalene began offering lodging to poor girls in her own home. In time, she opened a school which offered practical training and religious instruction. As other women joined her in the work, the new congregation of the Daughters of Charity emerged. Members of the new religious congregation focused on the educational and spiritual needs of women. Magdalene also founded a smaller congregation for priests and brothers. She died in 1835. Pope John Paul II canonized her in 1988. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Consider all the worlds thy hand.
Underwood with How Great Thou Art. Man, that is just an amazing live performance of that song. I'm Gary Zimek, and you are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Thank you so much for tuning into the program. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the Philadelphia Catholic Homeschool Conference. Let me do a quick look at the weather for the Philadelphia area. Currently at the Philadelphia International Airport, we have 47 degrees. Today it's going to be mostly sunny with a high near 79. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 56. And Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high near 81 degrees. I'm joined now by a good friend of mine, Mary Ellen Barrett, who is going to be speaking at the Philadelphia Catholic Homeschool Conference. And she's here to talk a little bit about Catholic homeschooling and what will be happening also at the conference on Friday, April the 28th. Good morning, Mary Ellen. How are you?
Good morning, Gary. I'm fine. I'm delighted to be here.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. This is really exciting to talk about the Philadelphia Catholic Homeschool Conference. Now, I'm blessed to be able to speak on the homeschooling circuit. You and I will be speaking in California in a few weeks. I think next week, right?
Yes.
So I am a homeschooling parent, as you know, and as are you. But let's talk a little bit about homeschooling, because not everybody is familiar with the concept. Let's talk about the concept specifically of Catholic homeschooling and why it's so special.
Well, it's incredibly special because you get to not only teach your children math and science and writing and reading, but you also get to pass down the faith to them in a very intimate way.
Right.
It's not sending them to a CCD class once a week for 40 minutes. It's every single day we observe our faith and we talk about it. And I teach religion, I teach the catechism, and we have a lesson in it, but we also just live it all day long together. Mm-hmm. And we observe it all day long together, and we use a lot of tradition that have fallen by the wayside these days because people simply just don't have time. So we're able to do that with our children. When you're a Catholic homeschool, you pass down the faith in a very daily, intimate, present way to your children.
Mary Ellen, somebody might be listening to this. I know because I was that person at one time, as was my wife, saying, I could never do this. I'm not qualified. What would you say to that person?
I'm not qualified either, Gary. It's my 15th year.
That's right.
Didn't Mother Teresa say God equips the call?
Yeah.
He doesn't call the equipped.
Yeah,
and that's
just
what it is. You just kind of have to lay down and say, okay, what we decided to do all those years ago, Dave and I, was, well, we're going to try this for a year because we really can't ruin anybody's life in a year and see how it goes.
Yeah.
And it just went so well that we had to continue. And it sounds like it's a huge amount of you need a huge amount of knowledge, or you need a teaching certificate, or you need to be an educator. But all the books come with, you know, teacher's planners and answer keys. And if you have trouble, my family's enrolled in Seton Home Study School. There are counselors there I can call.
Right.
There's a million resources. When I started, there were very few resources.
Right.
But now there's a ton of resources for parents. Anybody can do this, honestly. Anybody can.
And that's the thing that we have to remember. Well, actually, two things. The first thing is we do it because we feel God is calling us to do it. And understood, it's not for everybody. But my wife, Eileen, and I, we felt the Lord was calling us to do it. It was scary at first. It was scary for many days, for actually many years. But we also took it 1 year at a time, which was the advice that we were given. And the Lord's gotten us through. Our girls are going to be graduating this year from, we also use the Seton program. You're not in this alone. There are resources out there to help you.
Yeah, definitely. Lots of them. And the people at Seton are very kind. And I
agree.
Those counselors are just the holiest people on earth because sometimes I call them with the dopiest questions. And they never say, goodness, what's wrong with you? You know, they're always very, very accommodating and helpful, right? I know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've had some incredible questions. We would say, oh, boy, we're gonna look really dumb if we ask this question. But they always helped us. So, you're not on your own. And let's talk a little bit about this homeschooling conference coming to the Philadelphia area on April 28th. I mean, I think this is a great opportunity for anybody who is either homeschooling right now or maybe questioning, should I do this?
Yes. If it's at all a little part of your mind thinking maybe I should, you should come to the conference and just take a look at all of the materials that are available. We have many, many vendors. They're all terrific. And there are a bunch of talks. I'm giving to a lovely lady, Celeste Fay, is giving another one, which is actually going to be a terrific talk for anybody who's a mom. It's about beating the momposter, as she calls it, syndrome, how to defeat self-doubt. And
wow.
I don't think there's a mother alive who hasn't had self-doubt about something.
Wow, true.
And we have Dr. Bill Gierfelder, who is the president of Belmont Abbey College.
Mm-hmm.
In North Carolina, so he gives a lot of great advice to homeschooling high schoolers and how to get into college. And he also gives a great talk on the practice of sports and the Catholic vision. The dads all love to listen to him. So he's a great speaker, too. And then we just have great vendors. We have Seton, we have Holy Heroes, we have Arc Publishing, we have the Catholic Mom Daily Planner, we have Aquinas Learning, which is a classical education method of homeschooling, and that's a mentoring program for them. We have other, it's just, there's a huge amount of stuff to look at and process. And then there are other parents to meet. Different homeschool groups come. And it's a wonderful place to kind of meet community and see how other people make this work in their lives. There's so much information to give.
Is there any pre-registration required?
No, just show up. It's completely free.
Wow.
We do ask for a free will donation at the door. If you're able to give one, there is no requirement to do so. We have goodie bags with all kinds of free gifts and information about homeschooling in it, and our vendors participate in that. There are a couple of colleges who come as vendors to kind of give parents a heads up. Yes, your child will go to college, you know, if you homeschool, which is scary for some
people. It really is.
I have one in college now and one graduating this year as well, and she got into all her colleges and got wonderful scholarships. So it happens. You can do this.
Yes, it's very much an accepted practice nowadays. I mean, as you said, it's really become quite popular, homeschooling.
It is. The colleges just required my transcripts. Some of them required a letter from the school district. Some of them required, you know, extra paperwork, but it was no more onerous than the average application process.
Mm-hmm.
It really wasn't that big of a deal. So it is a lot more accepted than it used to be.
Definitely. So that's going to be the Philadelphia Catholic Homeschool Conference, Friday, April the 28th, from 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. at St. Helena Catholic Church in Bluebell. I will have that information linked on spiritinthemorning.com. Mary Ellen, is there a place where we can follow you online?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm on Facebook under my own name, Mary Ellen Barrett, and then I have a website called maryellenbarrett.com.
Excellent, excellent. So that's how we could follow you. I really thank you for being able to join us today on the program. I look forward to seeing you in California, where we're going to be speaking together.
I'm looking forward to that, too. I've never been to California, so we'll have a great time.
Well, it's going to be an adventure. Mary Ellen, thanks again for taking the time out. Have a blessed Holy Week and a happy Easter.
You too, Gary. Take care.
All right. God bless you. That was Mary Ellen Barrett talking about the Philadelphia Catholic Homeschool Conference. And I really encourage you to attend, even if you're not a homeschooling parent, if you're questioning it, do I feel this is good for me? Maybe you just want to find out more about it. That, in fact, is how Eileen and I first decided to start homeschooling. We went to a conference. We felt that the Lord was maybe calling us to do this. And we heard people like Mary Ellen, great speakers like Mary Ellen Barrett, who reassured us that you don't need to have a teaching certificate to homeschool. You can do it. If the Lord's calling you to do it, he's going to give you what you need. And there are plenty of great curriculum providers. She mentioned Seton, which is the group we use. There's plenty of other great homeschooling providers that will help you, that will give you the support that you need. So again, check it out, the Philadelphia Catholic Homeschool Conference. We will have that linked on spiritinthemorning.com.
Yeah, I was going to say, Gary, one thing that pricked up my ears was she mentioned one of the speakers, a gentleman, but talking about sports. And I was then it made me think, how does that work? I mean, you're homeschooling. Where do you assemble? Where do you go? I'm sure, I mean, all that.
Are plenty of resources. People group together. They have different co-ops where people get together. You can find all that information. And yes, Dr. Bill Thierfelder, I've heard him speak. He's the president of Belmont Abbey College. He is a great speaker. So check it out. Mary Ellen Barrett, Dr. Bill Thierfelder, Celeste B., so many great speakers at the Philadelphia Homeschool Conference. Right now, your time is 7:28. When we come back, we're going to be chatting with our friend Danielle Bean about the very familiar story of Martha and Mary. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. The Islamic State has claimed responsibility for two church bombings yesterday in Egypt that killed at least 43 people. More than 100 were injured in two attacks while worshipers gathered for Palm Sunday. Meanwhile, Pope Francis, in his Palm Sunday homily, decried suffering in the world today, citing those who suffer from, quote, slave labor, from family tragedies, from diseases. They suffer from wars and terrorism, from interests that are armed and are ready to strike, end quote. The Holy Father blessed palms and olive branches in St. Peter's Square for the start of Holy Week celebrations. In Washington, Judge Neil Gorsuch is about to take his place as the newest Supreme Court justice. The 49-year-old appeals court judge from Colorado will be sworn in later today. Gorsuch's nomination led to a bruising fight that saw Republicans change the rules for approving Supreme Court picks over the objection of Democrats. And President Trump's national security advisor is calling on Russia to reevaluate its support for Syrian President Bashar Assad, leaving open the possibility of additional U.S. military action against Syria. H.R. McMaster pointed to dual U.S. goals of defeating the Islamic State group and removing Assad from power. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition. Their mission is to provide financial support to area crisis pregnancy homes and centers and educate the community regarding sanctity of life issues from conception until natural death.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi.
Pathos.com blogger Margaret Rose Reilly was inspired to write a prayer after a thunderstorm brought a refreshing rain to her hometown. Here's an excerpt. Dear Lord, I thank you for the storms that move through life. You send the rain to cleanse, the thunder to make us attentive, and the wind to remind us that all things move according to your plan. Although I do not like the darkness, I know your storms draw me down and away from the often consuming blaze of this world. I pray to be strong enough to hold fast when storms become intense, and if I grow weary, to know I am not alone and to call out to angels, saints, and friends to shore me up. I praise you, Lord, for dark nights and stormy days that deepen my desire for you. Amen.
This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Saying to me, be still. to me. Why some things happen to those I love, and why it always seems to be that everywhere I go, I live my life as if he doesn't know best. But only in the Lord is my soul at rest. Still it's easier said than done, just to be still and know he is God. Oh, be still and know he is God. Be still and know he is God. Oh, be still and know he is God.
Back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Luke Spihar with Be Still. Now, if you like what Luke sounds like, I want you to stay tuned, because later in the show, you're going to have a chance to win a copy of his CD. Don't call yet, but I'll give you the go-ahead when you should call. Right now, we are joined by our friend Danielle Bean. She's the publisher and editor-in-chief of Catholic Digest. She's also the creator and host of The Gist, which is a weekly Catholic women's television talk show. She's also the author of several books, a frequent guest on Catholic radio, and we have been talking about her latest book, You're Worth It. And we're going to continue today to share one of my favorite stories, the story of Martha and Mary. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm always great when you're here, Danielle.
I love being here.
Hey, we're going to talk about Martha and Mary today. Now, we heard mention of them in the gospel today when Jesus once again went to visit them. But the story that I think we're more familiar with is the time when Jesus went to visit Martha and Mary, and Martha was distracted. She got caught up in her work. She lost sight of what she was doing. Mary, on the other hand, just sat at the feet of Jesus. What does this story teach us?
Right. I mean, I think we all love this story.
Oh, yeah.
Because we can all relate to both Mary and Martha here, and we see that contrast. And really, you know, what I love is that Martha, being the productive older sister
right.
that she is, and I get it. I get that personality full well. But she's so confident that
yeah.
she's correct.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I love, she marches right up to our Lord and says, tell her to help me.
I love that.
And I know, she's such a boss, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's great. And, you know, so we can all relate to that. And then the most beautiful, touching part of this scene, I believe, is our Lord's gentleness mm-hmm. with Martha.
Mm-hmm.
He loves her so much, and it's so clear in his response to her saying her name twice like that.
Mm-hmm.
Martha, Martha. You can almost see a twinkle in his eye when you read those lines from the gospel, that he loves her so much, and he sees that she's choosing something lesser, and he wants the very best for her,
mm-hmm.
the same way he wants the best for every one of us. And he gently chides us, too, because, you know, we may not be busy in the kitchen. We may not have that exact personality, but we all have many things, whatever your many things are that threaten to distract you from your relationship with our Lord. We all have those things. We all have that struggle, that interior struggle between the things of this world and the things we want to accomplish, material things and work things and even home and family things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can be distractions from our relationship with God. So he's really just reminding her of that vital importance, of that primary place that her relationship with our Lord needs to have. And it's a clear message for every one of us, that reminder.
And especially during this Holy Week, as we run around, as we're so busy, even maybe preparing for Easter, it's that reminder mm-hmm. to spend a little time with the Lord, to make sure that we carve out some time during our busy day, however we may manage to do that, to carve out some time to talk to him.
Absolutely. And I think you're right that especially during Holy Week, that there's that temptation because there's so many things to be done. I was just writing out my list for the week, and it's long.
Right.
So we know there's a lot to be done. Many of us are planning to host family and, you know, different celebrations and buy the kids their Easter outfits and whatever else you've got going on in your life and work these days. And yet Holy Week is a call to every one of us to step away to, you know, think of that beautiful image. I love the image of Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. You know, if ever you've sat at someone's feet, it was somebody that you loved and respected and you wanted to hear every word. You know, maybe it's actually a very childlike posture, and it's a beautiful idea, a beautiful image of the way we're supposed to approach God, the way we're supposed to approach our Lord, especially during Holy Week, sitting at his feet, sitting and keeping him company, listening to what he has to say to us. And we can do that even if we're busy with those many things. We've all got the long to-do list, but interiorly, kind of maintaining that presence inside, maintaining that focus on God, and, you know, just sit at his feet. If you just keep that image in your mind, maybe begin your days this Holy Week asking God to help you to sit at his feet throughout your busy days.
And let's explore that a little bit, because I know we have many busy moms listening to the show saying, come on, I just don't have the time. Do you have any suggestions, Danielle? Because you're a busy mom yourself. You're running all over the place. How can we specifically carve out maybe that time that we need to spend with the Lord?
Well, I first would encourage you that it doesn't have to be a lot of time. Okay. Sometimes we let the perfect be the enemy of the good. And, you know, you spend 5 minutes at the start of your day focused on talking with God, giving him your day, planning your day with God in your heart and in your mind, and asking him to help you to be aware of his presence in your life, asking him to help you in your vocation. So, I mean, it can take 5 minutes. Sometimes we think, well, I don't have a half hour, and I can't be on my knees in the chapel. I don't have time to say a whole rosary, or whatever it is that we think is the perfect way to commune with God, when all he wants is us to begin our days focused on him and then turn our hearts and minds to him throughout the day. You know, I love the idea that we're God's precious children, because my children are precious to us, and most of us who are parents can relate to that idea that we just want them to turn toward us. We want that relationship with them. It's actually a very beautiful thing, the loving bond between a parent and a child. And when a child naturally turns toward their parent as they're growing, as they're developing, and as they're experiencing new things, or even when they're hurt and they're sorry or they're disappointed in something, when that's a very precious kind of relationship that we have with our children. And that's precisely what God wants with us, which doesn't take any time at all. It takes a spiritual practice of learning to turn your heart and your mind toward God.
That's such a comforting idea. I'm so glad you mentioned that. The Lord's not going to say, well, forget it. If you can't give me 30 minutes, I don't want your time. He's going to take whatever we can give him. And I think just starting with a few minutes a day is a great way to do it. And we can also offer up the work that we're doing and turn that into prayer. You know, you pray a morning offering in the morning, and everything you do becomes prayer.
Right, absolutely. Such an important reminder, and it can be so encouraging to moms. Like, start where you are.
Yeah.
Start where you are. If you've got 5 minutes, you can start there. Give that to God. And it's been my experience over and over again throughout my life, and I've gone through many busy seasons where I felt like prayer was just an impossibility for me. But that little bit, if you start there, he does bless that effort, and he does reward that. And you'll find that you have more pockets of time that you're able to engage in spiritual practices. But you'll also find that your relationship with God changes such that he's coming to your heart and mind throughout your days, and you're really beginning to develop that intimate relationship that he longs to have with every one of us.
Danielle, I only have about a minute left. I want to first of all thank you for coming on the show. I know you're really busy. Can you remind us where we can find you online?
Absolutely. You can go to daniellebean.com. You can check out the Girlfriends podcast there, or find out more about the book You're Worth It: Change the Way You Feel About Yourself by Discovering How Jesus Feels About You. Holy Week is the perfect time to begin to do that.
And you also offer a retreat based on the book, is that correct?
I do. I've been doing that around the country this spring. It's been a busy spring, but so well received, so rewarding to be able to meet these women in real life and bring them the message of Jesus' life-changing love.
That is great. And you can find out more at daniellebean.com. Danielle, I wish you a blessed Holy Week and a happy Easter. Thank you so much for joining us again.
Thank you, Gary. You too. God bless
all
you.
All right. God bless you. Danielle Bean. Always love it when she comes on. She has such great insights. Okay. If you want to win Luke Spihar's CD, all you need to do right now is be caller number two. Caller number two, you got to dial quickly at 215-345-1570. That's caller number two, 215-345-1570. 1-800-345-1570, and you can win a copy of Luke Spihar's CD. We played him at the last break. You got to hear him, and he was in town. Great musical artist, Luke Spihar, 215-345-1570, and you can win a copy of Luke Spihar's CD. My thanks to Danielle Bean and to Mary Ellen Barrett for joining us on the program today. And we thank you for listening to the show. We're still going to do Best Lent Ever. That's coming up, as well as the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. So we have many things coming up still on Spirit in the Morning. And I want to thank you for joining us during Holy Week. We have a winner already. Boy, that was quick. You guys are quick today. We want to thank you for joining us on Spirit in the Morning today. Stick with us for the remainder of the show, and stick with us throughout Holy Week. We're going to help you to grow closer to the Lord during this very special week. It's our privilege to be able to share this time with you on the program, and we are going to be right back. You know the deal. Don't go anywhere. Stay tuned.
This is the audio from today's Dynamic Catholics Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection featuring Matthew Kelly.
I've never met anyone who didn't have any critics. And it's a really, I think, a difficult part of life to deal with. And it's a part of life that you can't not deal with it. You can't just ignore it and think it'll go away. And it's a part of life that can have a massive influence on us. You know, new book comes out, I'll get 1,000 emails from people saying they love the book. I'll get one email from someone criticizing, you know, something on line 4 of page whatever. Which one will I go to bed thinking about? The critic. It's a tragic flaw. It's a tragic flaw, and I probably have it more than most people. But the truth is that we have to be really careful about the voices we allow into our lives. We have to be really careful about the voice of criticism in our life. You see, the voice of criticism can be a voice of coaching, but the voice of criticism can also be a voice of distraction and a voice of discouragement. And one thing that God does not want you to experience is discouragement. God doesn't want you to get down, you know. We get down because we think it's our work. The truth is, it's whatever we're trying to do, it's God's work, you know. And guess what? He can handle the critics, you know. But we let the critics very often take a very powerful place in our lives. And not just, hey, okay, obviously I'm living a public life as an author and as a speaker. But you've got your critics. Might be your mom, might be your dad, might be your grandma, might be your mother-in-law, your sister-in-law. Could be anybody. But you've got critics, and you cannot let their voice run rampant in your life. You have to, I think, at some point learn to bring the criticisms to God and say, all right, God, here they are. You know, if there's something here you want me to work on, you know, give me some indication you want me to work on it. Otherwise, teach me to detach from this and not get discouraged by this. Because when we get discouraged, we spend a lot of energy on something that has nothing to do with the mission. And I think it's important to ask ourselves, you know, is what this person's criticizing, is it going to help the mission? Is it going to help me do the mission better? Great. If it is, take it on. Doesn't matter who says it. Doesn't matter how much you like them or don't like them. If it can help you become a better version of yourself, great. Let's take it on board. Let's separate it from the personality of the person who said it and let's take it on board. Let's become a better version of ourselves. If it can help us do the mission better, if it won't help us become a better version of ourselves, it's incidental. And we've got to give it the gate. We've got to set it aside. We've got to press on with the mission. Mission is king. We're made for mission. God's made you for mission. Anything that distracts you from the mission isn't of God. And we've got to learn to set it aside and stay focused and never get discouraged by the critics. Everyone's got critics. Everyone's got critics. And what the critics do is they stop us from acting. They stop us from actually doing something, and they distract us to just be thinking about stuff. It's a very, very subtle way. It's resistance. Resistance will use criticism because resistance hates action. Resistance hates when you actually do something. Resistance loves when you sit around moping about what the critics said about you. Resistance loves that. What God wants you to do, he wants you to step out of that discouragement. He wants you to break through that discouragement. He wants you to go out and do something. He wants you to act. He wants you to press on, do whatever it is he's calling you to do right now.
That was Matthew Kelly with Dynamic Catholic's Best Lent Ever Daily Reflection. You can experience your best Lent ever by signing up for Dynamic Catholic's free video-based program by going to bestlentever.com.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Good enough. I try to walk the line, pray that I find something that I knew was real. Began to realize the harder I tried, the colder I'd start to feel. Until the moment, the second I met your love. Freedom in more than just a story in the sky, wearing white. He's alive in every moment. And now that I know this love.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. That was Love and the Outcome with The God I Know. I want to congratulate our winner of Luke Spihar's Be Still album, Francis, from Our Lady of the Rosary Parish in Coatesville. Thank you for winning. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I think you're going to enjoy that CD, Mr. Parker.
And I understand a very loyal listener. So, great. Francis, thank you.
Yes, Francis, thank
over
you.
Over the years.
Thank you so much. Let's take a look at the Be Not Afraid Bible verse today. It comes from Revelation 1, verses 17 through 18. Fear not, I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Dave Parker, these words of Jesus Christ remind us of a couple of things. Now, that verse comes from my latest book, Stop Worrying and Start Living, 365 Daily Reflections. Mm-hmm. And in the reflection for that day, actually, this is today's reflection in my book. Mm-hmm. One of the things I mentioned, Dave, is I think one of the biggest fears for so many people is the fear of death.
Mm-hmm.
It's a
very
real fear. People even very holy people sometimes are afraid to die.
Exactly.
But I think this week in particular helps us focus on the fact that death has been transformed by Christ. Yeah, he's going to die on the cross. Mm-hmm. He did die on the cross, but on the third day he rose from the dead. Mm-hmm. He transformed death from something basically final into really the gateway to eternal life. Mm-hmm. That's what death is now.
I was going to say, and I know we've all been to funerals and stuff, and just last week at Cabrini there was a funeral. But if you remember, and I'm paraphrasing, life has not ended. It has changed.
I love that wording.
I love that. Mm-hmm.
It's so comforting.
It is. Yeah. I mean, we have so much to look forward to. It's taking that leap of faith and knowing.
Yeah, and that's so we're very blessed to be Catholic. And during this Holy Week, just keep that in mind, especially if you're someone who really is afraid to die. I would recommend that you get to know Christ better, get to talk to him every day. Mm-hmm. As Danielle said in that last segment, even if you have a couple minutes, give him a couple minutes. Talk to him while you're driving in the car, while you're taking a walk.
Yeah, don't try to tackle the whole elephant if you're coming back. I mean, take you little bits at a time, you know?
That's how you do it. The Lord will take whatever you can give him. He really will. He loves you that much that he will be able to take whatever you give him. And incidentally, that Be Not Afraid Bible verse, as well as the gospel for today, you could find that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. Make sure you check that out. Make sure you let your friends know about Spirit in the Morning. While we have about a minute left, I just want to point out tomorrow on the show, we're going to be joined by Father Leonard Mary from EWTN. I got to know Father from being down at the network, and I asked him if he would come on for a few minutes and just share some thoughts about Holy Week. He's going to be on with us, as well as Dr. John Bergsma. Dr. John Bergsma is a professor at Franciscan University in Steubenville, and he's got a great book out called Bible Basics, easy for me to say, for Catholics. He's going to share some information there. Also, we'll be joined by our friend Dr. Greg Popchak on the program tomorrow, and he's going to give us some advice on what we can say to someone who is really suffering, somebody who may have just lost a spouse or who may be going through a divorce. And this is based on something that happened to me. A friend of mine has just been served divorce papers by his wife. He's devastated. Mm-hmm. And I reached out to Dr. Popchak and I said, can you come on the show and talk about this? Sometimes we just don't know what to say. So don't forget, that's on tomorrow's edition of Spirit in the Morning. We're going to go now. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Even if you have a couple minutes, turn around and say hi. God bless you. Talk to you soon.